Coming up on sports and stuff, the MLB playoffs begin. I'll preview the upcoming wild card series in the American League and National League, as well as discuss and break down the 2022 baseball season. I'll also talk about some potential changes the Red Sox need to make for next year, and we'll preview the upcoming NBA and NHL seasons, which start in the next week or two. I'll also talk about a couple of Halloween specials on TV and the movies. All this and plenty more coming up on Sports and Stuff, presented on Exquisite Podcast Radio Network and all media platforms. You're listening to EPRN. I'm John Meisner, host of Sports and Stuff. Listen in to my podcasts and all of the podcasts on Exquisite Podcast Radio Network. Download and bookmark the EPRN app. Go to app.eprn.us and you can always tune in at www.eprn.us. Hey everybody, welcome to Sports and Stuff. It's been a little while since I've been with you, so glad you could join us this week on the show. I'm John Meisner. You're always listening to Exquisite Podcast Radio Network. Just one of many podcasts that are on this here network. I've got a lot of others as well, but anyway, hope everybody's enjoying their fall season. It's nice to see the fall foliage and pumpkins all around. It's nice being in New England this time of year. I will say it's definitely the best time to come visit if you're out of town or out of the area. You get to see all the pretty foliage, pick apples, pick pumpkins, and take a nice walk up and down the trails. It's very pretty. The other seasons, it's not as fun, but but fall is definitely a very nice time to be in New England. There's a chill in the air in October. Unfortunately, we won't be seeing the Red Sox in the playoffs on my end. They just weren't good enough this year. I'll talk about that as we go along here. But first, I want to welcome you all here. I've got a lot of stuff going to go over here this week's show. First things first, let's talk about the baseball playoffs in MLB. The wild card series start on Friday, and there are a total of four series, two in each league. In the American League, it will be the Tampa Bay Rays going to Cleveland to take on the Cleveland Guardians for that wild card series. The other American League series will be the Mariners against the Blue Jays in Toronto. Now, keep in mind, these are all three-game series that could go, three games. It's best of three. And they're all in they're all at the team's record. But what am I saying? I can't even get my head on straight here. The team with the better record has home field advantage. That's what I'm trying to say. I don't know why I couldn't say that right the first time. But anyway, the Guardians had the better record against the Rays, and same for the Blue Jays. They have the better record against the Mariners. I am very happy for the Seattle Mariners, though. Finally getting into the playoffs for the first time in 21 years since 2001, since Ichiro's rookie season. That's about how long it's been. And they were loaded that year, too. For those that remember that year, Seattle, they won like 116 games, I think. They were that was one of the all-time greatest teams, and they didn't even win the World Series that year because of the Yankees and how great of a dynasty they had at that time, getting to four straight World Series. That's how long it's been for Seattle, but they finally made it. They almost made it last year, but they didn't quite get in, but this year they did. But as glad as I am for Seattle, I am a little disappointed that the Baltimore Orioles didn't make it. I mean, they caught a lot of people by surprise this year, they ended up with a winning record, but just couldn't quite get into the top three wild cards in the American League. But I'm telling you, this is a team that's going to be very good for a very long time. I think their worst days are over. I mean, they've clearly turned a corner. They've got a good team. They've actually got some pitching now, which they didn't have for a very long time. But they actually do have some solid pitching. They've got a very nice offense. They've got the right manager. Reconfiguring the ballpark at Camden Yards had a little something to do with it as well. They moved back left field pretty considerably, which makes it easier on the pitchers, so you don't get to see them giving up as many home runs. So that helped as well. But the team has really exceeded everybody's expectations this year. And even when they were 10 games below 500. earlier in the year, I was even saying to myself, this team isn't that bad. If they just go on a run and get, you know, some momentum, they can make it really interesting. And that's, and lo and behold, that's exactly what they did. They rattled off like 10 or 11 in a row at one point. I thought they were going to get one of the wild card spots, but just couldn't quite make it at the end. But it was nice to see them play meaningful baseball late in the year in September. I can't say the same about the Red Sox. They've got their own issues, but I think Baltimore is going to be a mainstay in the division for a long time to come. They're not just going to be the team everybody beats up on and, you know, and you know, pile up a bunch of wins against. No, I think Baltimore's for real. I think I could see them making the playoffs next year. I really do. I mean, they're like one or two pieces away from being a legit contender. So they're definitely going to add in the offseason. So I'm happy for Baltimore. Just taking a little time to get used to them, actually thinking of them as a good team for once, because they were bad for so long. But there are brighter days ahead for the Orioles, I think, because that is a good baseball town. The Red Sox, however, they have some questions, which I'll get to in a second here. I'll just go over the other wild card series. In the National League, we have the Padres going to the Big Apple to take on the Mets in that series, and the others will be the Phillies against the Cardinals in St. Louis. Yeah, Albert Pujols is already having an incredible last year. Got over 700 career home runs, which was really nice. First ballot Hall of Famer, easily. I wouldn't be surprised if he gets all 100% of the vote when he does retire, you know, and gets inducted in the next 5 years. It's, you know, it's crazy to think, like, you know, had he never left St. Louis, had he never gone to the Angels, he might even possibly have the all-time home run record. He might have broken Barry Bonds' record. I mean, we'll never know, but to think what would have happened if he stayed, you know, it's because his numbers did decline when he went to the Angels and started getting injured, and his body just kind of, in his age, just took a toll on him. But anyway, that's a discussion for another day. But I mean, you know, Pujols wants to end the season with a championship. I don't think the Cardinals are going to come out of the American, or excuse me, the National League. If they do win the series against the Phillies, I think the Dodgers are just too talented. They'll either lose to the Dodgers or the Braves, whoever they match up with. But yeah, I could see the Dodgers and Braves going at it for the National League pennant, just like last year. Yeah, the Braves really kind of played out this year the way they did last year. I mean, for a lot of this year, they were okay, they weren't that great, but then late in the year, they really started playing great baseball and got great pitching, and now they're looking like the you know, another World Series contender for this year. So we'll see what happens for them. In the American League, I have a feeling the Astros will probably come out of the American League. I don't think the Yankees are the best team out there. I really don't. I mean, they really struggled in the second half. The only reason they are in the playoffs right now is because of one reason and one reason only. Aaron Judge. had it not been for him having the season he's had, I don't think the Yankees would have made the playoffs. I think they would have had a major collapse. They were already in the middle of having possibly going through a collapse before, you know, Aaron Judge practically had to carry them and save them in the second half with all his home runs. What a year for Aaron Judge. 62 home runs. Breaks Roger Maris's all-time American League record for a single season this year. Get a load of this if you're really into numbers. You know, Roger Maris hit 61 home runs back in 1961, and it's been 61 years since he did that, when the record was broken this year by Mr. Judge. So, kind of funny how the number 61 plays into that. You know, I mean, and I understand Roger Maris wore number 9, and Judge wears 99, so it's like the stars aligned or something. Everything just kind of fell into place. Funny the kind of way it works out like that. But congratulations to Judge. He had the burden of trying to tie Maris's record by getting the 61st home run. And then once he got that monkey off his back, the next one came, you know, pretty naturally, not too long afterwards. So congrats to Judge. You know, I'm not a Yankees fan, but I am a baseball fan, and I always am rooting for players to hit certain milestones or accomplish something great. So good for him. I'm happy for Judge. Beginning of this year, he didn't want to talk about contract extensions, turned down a Yankees offer they made him. He wanted to keep it quiet, and boy, he has had just an historic year. He is going to get paid a ton of money by whoever signs him, whether it's the Yankees or if he goes somewhere else. He's going to get paid big, big bucks because he deserves to. So it's going to be an interesting offseason for the Yankees, and just as interesting as of an offseason for the Red Sox, because, as people know, they didn't make the playoffs this year, sadly. But I feel very hopeful about next year for 2023 because, hopefully, again, this is just, assuming he'll stay healthy for once. Chris Sale will hopefully come back healthy and stay healthy. God, his body is almost built like glass. It's like everything he touched just breaks. Gets struck by a line drive shortly after he comes back from a rib cage injury and, then hurts his other hand riding a bike at home. It was just terrible. Hopefully when he comes back next year, once and for all, he'll stay healthy and not have to go back on the injured list again. So assuming he is healthy, you'll get a healthy Chris Sale back for next year. Brian Bayo, I think, is definitely going to be a part of the rotation. He looked excellent toward the end of the season. Got off to a slow start. I think the Red Sox kind of rushed him because they had some injuries to their starting rotation. I mean, they had like four rookies out of their rotation at one point. It was just getting ridiculous. The injuries just kept piling up. But Bayo got much better and more comfortable as time went on. He looks very, very good. Very promising. And he's coachable and willing to learn how to throw additional pitches, such as a curveball and whatnot. So he'll be in the rotation. Not sure about Nathan Eovaldi. Not sure about Rich Hill. I have a feeling Rich Hill might retire because he's getting up there in age, but we'll see. But I would like to see him bring back Eovaldi. And more importantly, as far as the other players go, they need to re-sign Xander Bogaerts. It's been talked about on a lot of other talk shows and in the media. I mean, Bogaerts is their franchise player. They need to keep him, and he wants to stay here. I know he does. I'm pretty sure if you asked him and it was honest, he would admit he wants to spend his whole career in Boston. I feel like that's what he wants to do. And if the Red Sox intend on keeping him, they will give him the right offer he wants. And so he doesn't have to test free agency. He probably will test it anyway, just because he is a free agent now. But hopefully they'll get a deal done very quickly. Because I just can't imagine the Red Sox just letting him go. That would be a huge mistake. A very, very bad mistake to make. Lock up Bogaerts, lock up Devers if they can get him an extension. He becomes a free agent next year, but it'd be nice if he could keep him long term as well. But more importantly, just as importantly as keeping Bogaerts and Devers, the Red Sox need pitching. They need to completely overhaul their bullpen and their rotation as well. But with their bullpen, it was just awful this year. It was one of the reasons they didn't make the playoffs. Just too many blown leads late in games. Too many blown saves by the bullpen. Too many injuries to their rotation. Heck, if they're just healthy and win a few more games against their own division, they probably get a wild card spot. They weren't that far away from actually getting it. I mean, it's not like they just fell short. They weren't good enough for reasons, for a lot of reasons. But I really do think that the two biggest reasons the Red Sox didn't make the playoffs were, like I said, bad bullpen, late in games, and just not winning enough games against the AL East. I mean, their record against Toronto and Tampa was pathetic. I think Toronto won like 16 out of 19 of their games this season, and the Red Sox swept Tampa their last series of the year, but it didn't mean anything for both teams. So, but still, Tampa's record, especially in Tampa, was where they really just made the Red Sox look so bad, and the Red Sox had a lot of painful losses there. They've had a lot of painful losses in Tampa over the years, because of the dome and the fact that it's so competitive. But But anyway, I think that's probably those are the two biggest reasons right there for the Red Sox. Because everybody else isn't getting any worse. So the Red Sox are going to have to really make changes to stay competitive in their division, because it is the toughest in baseball, the American League East, for sure. And before we move on here, I'll just give my predictions on the wild card series. In the American League, we can see, like I said, we got Blue Jays and Mariners. I'll say Blue Jays because they have a very dangerous offense and play very well at home. So I think they can slug their way past the Mariners. Unfortunately, I don't think we're going to be seeing the Mariners in the division series. I mean, it'd be great for Seattle, of course, to go back home and have a playoff game at home for the first time in a long time, but I just don't think the Blue Jays are going to lose this series. They're just too talented offensively. They're going to rake their way to the division series. And we got Rays and Guardians. As good as the Guardians have been in the second half, and as much as I love Terry Francona, I just think the Rays pitching is just a little too tough. I mean, now that they got Tyler Glasnow back, fully healthy, he's going to be another weapon out of that out of their pitching staff. So I say Rays win that series. I'll say Rays, Rays either win the first two or if it goes all three games. We'll see. But I'll say Rays and Blue Jays win their series. And in the National League, we got Phillies, Cardinals. I'll say Cardinals. I think the Phillies don't have enough pitching. They can hit. You know, Kyle Schwarber had a great year with the bat, but the Cardinals have more, just better pitching. And Padres, Mets. I say the Mets win that series. I think the loss of Fernando Tatis Jr. really hurt the Padres, and they don't have the same kind of quality pitching the Mets have. With, you know, with Scherzer and I think DeGrom was pitching at one point. I know he got hurt, but I don't remember if he came back or not. But anyway, they were neck and neck with the Braves and the NL East. So the Mets will win that series for sure. So those are my predictions. Rays, Blue Jays, Mets, and Cardinals win those series. And then we'll reorganize things when it gets to the division series, and we'll talk about that when we get there. So, those are my thoughts, and we'll take a break here on sports and stuff, and when we come back, we're going to talk a little about the upcoming NBA and NHL seasons, and a little later on, what is going on with Ime Udoka and the Boston Celtics. I'm going to talk about that story a little bit more and some Halloween stuff for the fall season. More sports and stuff continues after these words.
MVMT is the affordable brand for men's and women's watches. Go to MVMTWatches.com and browse through the bestseller collection, all of the watches, sunglasses, wristband straps, and watch-related accessories. It's not surprising that MVMT offers free shipping worldwide to their customers. Sign up for the newsletter at MVMTWatches.com, read the MVMT brand story, and get caught up on the brand. Premium design at a fair price.
We are back with more sports and stuff. You're listening to Exquisite Podcast Radio Network. Before I forget, if you're into podcasts, be sure to download the EPRN app. We've got a lot of great podcasts on our network, including, you know, this yours truly here, me and sports and stuff. But we've got a lot of other podcasts for you out there. We're always looking to add more content to our network. So if you've got an idea for a podcast, you can always hit us up on there. Check out the EPRN website as well as our EPRN app. So got a lot of good stuff out there. A little something for everybody. A little variety on our little network. So anyway, moving on here. Next, I wanted to talk a little bit about, both the upcoming NHL and NBA seasons. I have to talk about the Celtics here for a minute. It has become a rather polarizing and sad story regarding Ime Udoka. Now, it can be a little bit of a sensitive, touchy subject for some people, but it has to be discussed because it's gotten a lot of attention. For those that have not heard, and I mean, I'm assuming a lot of people have by now, he will not be coaching the Celtics this season. He has been suspended, and one of the Celtics assistant coaches will be taking over in the interim. And the reason he is not going to be coaching is because he had a relationship with somebody in the organization. This is really makes Udoka look so bad because he's already married. So the fact that he's cheating on his wife is wrong to begin with. But the fact that he did it with somebody in the organization, which is pretty much a coworker, you got to be really careful about that stuff these days. I mean, the fact that Udoka pretty much cheated on his wife makes him look really bad to begin with. But the fact that it was with somebody in an organization just makes it even that much worse. You know, had this been done, like, you know, privately with somebody else that, you know, wasn't with the Celtics at all, it probably wouldn't get as much media attention or as much hype. But still, you know, I liked Udoka as a coach last year, but I can't help but question where his head is at. I mean, is he okay? You know, I don't want to speculate what's going on in his personal life that much, but I just hope that him and his wife are getting along okay and they're handling their marital problems okay or seeking some kind of help if they need to. But I thought it was very wrong of him to not only cheat on his wife, but like I said, do it with somebody in the organization. This is 2022. I mean, people are going to get in trouble for stuff like that. You can't have intimate relationships with people that, even if you don't work with them directly, you know, people that are in another part of your company, you just can't do that. It's just way too risky. I mean, even if Udoka wasn't married, it probably would have been just as serious, him doing that. You know, it's just not worth the risk. I mean, even if the relationship goes great, regardless if it's good or bad, it becomes a distraction. And you can't have distractions when you're trying to help a team win a championship or lead them there. It's just not a smart move by Udoka. I hope he learns from this in the next year. He's going to be, hopefully doing a lot of thinking and a lot of reflecting and a lot of changing, because he needs to do that. Needs to get his life back on track. So I wish the best for Udoka. I hope he realizes the impact of his mistakes and what caused things to happen the way they did for him. And hopefully next year he comes back a changed man and comes back completely drama-free, no problems. There's probably details we don't know about, I'm sure, that have not been disclosed to the public, but still, that's just my take on the matter. I think he's clearly in a lot of hot water and needs to do some soul searching and hopefully get some help, some professional help for his marital problems and, you know, getting involved with a coworker like that. So hopefully, there'll be brighter days ahead for Udoka, but still, just a really sad time for the Celtics. A polarizing story and getting a lot of media attention. So, anyway, on a brighter note, I think the Celtics are going to be really good this year again as they try to get back to the, out of the Eastern Conference. It's going to be tough, though. Robert Williams is hurt. He's not going to be around till probably end of this year, beginning of the new year, because he had to have another knee surgery after his first one because his knee got infected from his first surgery. So he's going to have I think he had another surgery already, but he won't be ready by the start of the season. He won't be around till, like I said, either December or January. And who's the other one that got hurt? Was it? I think it was one of their acquisitions. I think it was Gallinari that's been hurt as well. So he won't be ready either. So they're going to be a little thin, but at the same time, they still have Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown and Marcus Smart, so that should definitely keep us in a lot of ball games. I expect good things from the Celtics this year. They had to make some moves because, let's face it, they may not get past a healthy Milwaukee with Chris Middleton healthy, so they needed to bulk up, which they did. And if they do get back to the NBA Finals, God willing, against, will probably be again, maybe another Golden State Warriors rematch, they're going to have, better depth to compete with Golden State if they make it back. So we'll see. It's going to be an interesting season, though. You know, no Aimé Udoka, William, Time Lord, as they call him, and Gallinari are hurt, so we're a little thin, but I think we'll hang around and make and be competitive, you know, for the Celtics. And as far as the Bruins go, they start their season next week on October 12th against the Washington Capitals, the Alex Ovechkin and company. I think this season, season finale, their season opener will be a lot better than it was a couple years ago after the Capitals won the Stanley Cup in 2018. Because, I mean, that year, you know, after they won, they played the Bruins in their season opener and just completely destroyed Boston because they had so much momentum having raised the Stanley Cup banner into the rafters and, you know, having a nice little, you know, pregame ceremony. They were excited and ready to get back on the ice and play good hockey again. So, you know, we don't have that to worry about. So I think it'll be a little more evenly matched this time. It'll be a more competitive game. You don't have the Stanley Cup hype coming out of the, you know, the previous season. That's what the Avalanche have to worry about now, their Stanley Cup hangover. Yeah, every team has one that wins a championship. You have, you know, naturally you have just a little hangover, you know, from the year before. But but anyway, yeah, it's going to be interesting for the Bruins because, you know, I mentioned, you know, the Celtics have some injuries. So do the Bruins. I mean, they don't have Brad Marchand. They don't have Charlie McAvoy and Matt Grizzly. But Marchand's the big one. I mean, you're losing a lot of offense for the first couple months because he had double hip surgery over the summer, so he's going to miss a lot of games. Probably won't be ready till, I would say, probably December, if I had to guess. If not December, then definitely the new year. Yeah, Marchand's just too talented of a goal scorer to replace. You know, nobody can replace him, or not many can, I should say. And McAvoy's a, you know, one of their top defensemen, and Matt Grizzlick's important too. So they're going to be without some players, and they have a, you know, kind of similar situation to the Celtics. You know, the lack of players, you know, a new coach. Same with the Bruins. You know, they have a new coach as well. I still don't like that they got rid of Bruce Cassidy. I thought that was a bad move by Don Sweeney, but hopefully their new coach will establish good relationships with the players and whatnot. But it'll be nice that David Krejci's coming back after being out for about a year or so in the Czech Republic, in his homeland. So it'll be nice to have him back. Some people think this will be the Bruins' like one last go around with a lot of their core players until they, you know, because Bergeron thankfully re-signed a one-year deal, Patrice Bergeron. I kept hearing rumors he was going to go to Montreal, and I'm like, no, what are you, crazy? Why would he go to a rival team? I mean, I know he's from there, but I think the story was that I think his agent or one of his old agents was the head of the Canadiens or something. Like, there was some connection. But no, Bergeron's a Bruin for life. He's not going anywhere. He better retire a Bruin. But speaking of retiring as a Bruin, Zdeno Chara signed a one-day contract with the Bruins about a week or so ago. Good for him. I'm glad he did that. He's definitely going to go in the Hall of Fame after he retires. You know, he is officially retired from the NHL now after about 25 years or so. I think he started in 97 when he came up through to the Islanders as a draft pick. Drafted by Mike Milbury, too, former Bruin. Now, had been a studio analyst for several years on NBC, but when they had the rights to NHL coverage. But anyway, Char is a great player. He's one of the all-time most dominant defensemen at his position. The tallest player in NHL history at 6'9". Had a heck of a slap shot, especially at the, you know, on power plays. It was nice to see him wind up a big bomb of a slap shot and it go in. So he could score a bit here and there too, but I mean, he was always so intimidating to play against. I mean, players did not want to have to face him. I mean, him going up against the team's, or their, I should say, the opposing team's best players every night, it's not easy to do, but Chara was just so great. Helped us win a Stanley Cup in 2011. Bounced around a couple teams after he left the Bruins, but I'm glad he decided to retire as one for one day, so good for him. I'm glad. You know, as far as Bruins defensemen go in NHL history, I'd say my top three are Bobby Orr, Ray Bourque, and Zdeno Chara. Those three. I mean, Chara's right up there with Bourque and Bobby Orr. I think so, anyway. And they've had a lot of good players over the years, but as far as defensemen go, I'd say those are the top three all-time for Bruins. I don't see it any other group of three, really. So congrats to Chara on a... should be a happy retirement. But, as the season starts for hockey, there's going to be a lot more, stories unfolding, I'm sure. Teams will... everybody will be talking about how they're starting and whatnot. So I don't have a whole lot of details other than what I'm sharing, but I think it will be interesting, for the Canadiens, being that they are the Bruins' arch rival. It'll be nice to see Marty St. Louis coach that team for a full season, because after he took over last season, the Canadiens actually started playing better. They were off to a terrible start, and they had to get rid of their old coach. So, I think St. Louis got the right kind of qualities to be a good coach. He was a great leader when he was a player, and I think that'll translate very well to a struggling Canadiens team. So I could see him leading that team to the playoffs, but I don't know if they'd be good enough to get out of the Eastern Conference against Tampa. Despite St. Louis playing most of his career against the Lightning, I don't see the Canadiens going far if they did make the playoffs. But I'm getting ahead of myself. We'll just give him a chance to prove himself for a full year. So that's what I think about them anyway. But it should be fun. Looking forward to it. Against October 12th is opening night in hockey, or at least for the Bruins anyway. That whole week. It's when the NHL games will get started back underway. The Bruins start the 12th. The Celtics will start October 18th at home against the Philadelphia 76ers. So they'll welcome the Philly into town on opening night. So we got that to look forward to, and we got plenty of football talk as well coming up on the program. So we'll take a break and do just that. When we come back, I'll talk some football and what the Patriots look like going into October. More sports and stuff continues after this. Stick around.
What's up, Highlight fans and Highlight Channel viewers? It's Tanara Davis, a.k.a. Jetta from Magic City Highlight. Hey guys, stay in tune to Magic City Highlight and also tune into weekly head-to-head recaps on exquisite podcast radio network sports and stuff podcasts. Right now, if you signed up to be a listener member of EPRN, you could be one of 200 lucky winners of the Magic City Highlight EarPods giveaway. So if you wanted to be one of the lucky winners, go to earpods.eprn.uts. It's free to join and to enter, so do it. So take it from me, the only NFL Super Bowl champion in the world of highlight, go to earpods.eprn.us and get those earpods.
Sports and stuff continues here on Exquisite Podcast Radio Network. And we've already talked a lot about some of the other pro sports here. We're going to get into another one right now with football. It's been a rough start for the Patriots, honestly. I'm a little concerned about Mac Jones. He has a very serious ankle injury, it looks like, that he suffered at the end of the Ravens game from a couple weeks ago. It's not season ending, but I think they're just taking it day by day, week by week, to see how he, if he's able to, come back from that. But that was a devastating blow, though, at the end of the Ravens game. I don't want to sound like I'm being a jerk or being too hard on Mac Jones, but he kind of put himself in that position, because in that game he was facing a lot of pressure and kept throwing off his back foot, which is a recipe for disaster for quarterbacks. Is when you throw off your back foot. Now, I didn't play quarterback, but I have watched enough football to understand that when you step off your back foot, the ball doesn't travel as far, and it usually gets intercepted, or at the very least, it would be incomplete, but he usually gets picked off for an interception, and that's exactly what happened to Jones. Stepped off on his back foot, got intercepted when the Patriots were trying to come back in that game, against the Ravens, but they were unable to do that because Jones kept turning over the ball in that game, so he kind of shot himself in the foot, so to speak. So you had that, and then, you know, just unfortunate that a Ravens player landed on his ankle when he went down. So we'll see how that plays out. I hope it heals, you know, before the end of the season. You know, I wouldn't. I mean, they haven't said it's season ending, so they're just taking it day by day, like I said. But I will say, though, Bailey Zappe, a third-string quarterback. I mean, Brian Hoyer is their backup, but Bailey Zappe is their third stringer. He did a heck of a job against the Green Bay Packers last week. I'll say this. The Patriots gave the Packers everything they could handle last Sunday in Green Bay at Lambeau Field. I thought it was going to be a one-sided game. I thought Aaron Rodgers was going to go off and throw a bunch of touchdown passes and roll over the Patriots, but that didn't happen. It was a heck of a game. Went to overtime. You know, both teams had chances. Unfortunately, the Patriots just weren't really able to get up the field when they needed to. The Packers have a very good defense, but so does New England. I mean, Aaron Rodgers actually got picked off in that game, and he very rarely ever throws an interception, ever. But he did. He actually made, the Patriots were in position. I think it was it Jack Jones, I think, that got the interception? I think it was Jones that came away with it. But anyway, he actually threw an interception, which is rare. I mean, him and Russell Wilson hardly ever throw picks. So that was rare enough to begin with. And the Patriots actually had a lead at one point. But credit to Aaron Rodgers and that defense for the Packers. They played us very tough, but we played them tough too. We really limited Rodgers what he was able to do in that game. And to think that game almost ended in a tie, because the game-winning field goal the Packers kicked was right at the very last second in overtime. It went to the very end. It was kind of a chip shot. It was like a 31-yarder, which is kind of easy to hit. So it's not like there was much drama behind the kick. But but I will say, if Bailey Zappe can play as well as he did, a third stringer against a team like the Packers, and come up just a little bit short, I think the Patriots are going to be okay. I think they're going to win their fair share of games. They're 1-3 right now, which is not good, but they've got a lot of weaker teams coming up. I think they should be okay against them and get by. But the story here is really is Mac Jones. When is he going to come back? I don't know if I want to speculate on that. I'll say this. I don't think his injury is season ending. I will say that. I think he will be back at some point this season. When, I don't know, but I'll say, well, I don't know. I kind of feel like a fool trying to predict when he'll come back, but I'll say November or December, maybe November. I don't know exactly. I mean, that's for the team to decide, but I will say I don't think he will miss the rest of the season. I think Mac Jones will be back. They're probably just going to be very careful with his ankle. And Brian Hoyer got hurt last week as well. He suffered a concussion in the first quarter against the Packers very early in that game, and Bailey Zappe had to come in. So nobody knows about Brian Hoyer and his concussion. I mean, concussions are serious. You have to be even more careful with that than you would an ankle. You know, at least with a bum ankle, you can, even though it limits your mobility, at least you can, you know, think straight. With a concussion, that's serious. Because a lot of how you think and live your life is built with your head, obviously. So it's very sensitive. I'm sure they're doing everything they can to protect Hoyer. So hopefully he'll be okay. But still, Patriots are banged up right now, and they need to start winning games. I think they will, because they have a good enough defense to keep them in games. It's just a matter of what you can get out of Bailey Zappe and Brian Hoyer if he, you know, does come back. But I think the Patriots will be all right. They have weaker teams coming up. They got the Lions next week, or this weekend, I should say. And they don't have too many like teams that scare you. Actually, the next several weeks. So they'll get back to 500 at least, maybe even get a winning record out of it. I say they'll rattle off a few wins in a row. I'd be very surprised if they lose any of those games. They can't afford to give games away against bad teams. They got to get back in the AFC East because Buffalo is legit. Although I was surprised they actually beat the Ravens this past week. Baltimore mismanaged the end of that game, late in the game. John Harbaugh made some coaching errors, but, well, nobody's perfect. You know, you just got to live and learn. But still, Buffalo is the team to beat in that division. The Jets are actually decent to start. I didn't think they would be. I thought they'd be like 1-3 like the Patriots or 0-4, but they're 2-2. And Dolphins are okay, so division's competitive. And and as great as he is, I mean, Tom Brady and the Buccaneers haven't been playing their best football. They've they haven't hit their peak yet, but they will. They'll definitely start winning their share of games very soon. But their injuries are, you know, they have a fair amount of injuries as well. Julio Jones is hurt. Don't know the timetable on him exactly, but hopefully they'll start winning as well. But I will say the Eagles have been a surprise in the NFC. They're 4-0 right out of the gate. Boy, I did not see that coming. They've been a surprise, but they're very good. They have a very good team out there. I have a friend who likes the Eagles. They actually were a guest on the show a couple years back. Megan Moynihan. Yeah, she loves the Eagles. She's got to be stoked about the start they're off to. But anyway, yeah, the Eagles are a pleasant surprise, to say the least. I didn't think I'd be sitting here saying they got the best record, but they do. They're 4-0. So anyway, time for another break here on sports and stuff. When we come back, I'm going to talk about some Halloween stuff that's been on my mind lately, and I'm also going to talk a little bit more about Dennis Eckersley and his retirement with Nesson, which has been a big story around here in New England. Back with more sports and stuff after this. Stay with us.
Your number one internet radio station.
Exquisite Podcast Radio Network, www.eprn.us.
We are back here on Sports and Stuff. John Meisner here with you. And, I've been thinking about a lot of, sports and entertainment like I always do any week. I've covered a lot of sports so far. Now we're going to get into the entertainment part of the show here a little bit. A couple noteworthy things in entertainment happened over the past week or so. The first of which I have to bring up before I forget, about the passing of Coolio at age 59. Reports are being said that he suffered cardiac arrest, which is too bad. Certainly very unexpected. I did not see that coming. Now, I'll admit, I was not a big fan of rap music growing up. I mean, I never really listened to it that much. But I definitely remember Coolio and and the impact he had on a lot of 90s kids like myself. I mean, he had some great songs. Fantastic Voyage and Gangster's Paradise. He sang the theme song to Keenan and Kel, which I'll always remember. He was cool. That's why they call him Coolio. But definitely left his impact on rap music and the generation I'm in, the 90s and 2000s. And I just remember, like, it seemed like every talk show or game show growing up always had him on it as a guest. He was always a guest on some show. That's what I'll always remember. He was, you know, even when he wasn't making music, he was always just putting his name out there, and his name, he definitely made himself well known. He definitely made his presence felt. I remember he was on the revival of Match Game in the late 90s, and he got kind of dirty at one point. I mean, he probably was dirty off camera, but one time he showed it on camera was kind of funny. I forget exactly what the question was, but the contestant gave the answer. Well, I'll just I won't say exactly what it... Well, yeah, I guess I'll also come out and say... They pretty much said they're... Well, they're wiener. Now, the reason I say that is because Coolio comes up with like three or four different ways to phrase it so he doesn't say what it actually is. He's like, how about I... He's like, my Johnson, my wiener, my third leg. I'm like, oh God, what are you doing? Yeah, that version didn't last long. It lasted like one season and then it was gone. But anyway, I don't usually like, you know, have that kind of humor, but that just kind of stuck out at me a little bit, was just him doing that. But anyway, on a more serious note, you know, he made some great music, and you know, he had a great relationship with both Keenan and Kel from all that, and you know, and Keenan and Kel, and of course I'm referring to Keenan Thompson, Kel Mitchell. You know, he not only was a great musician and a rapper, but was very positive, apparently, according to Kel. You know, he offered Kel a lot of words of encouragement. He loved where Kel was at. Same with Keenan. Yeah, they definitely felt the impact of his loss, probably more than anybody, I would think. Yeah, because not only did Coolio perform the theme to Keenan and Kel, but I think he also might have been on All That at least once or twice. At some point, because I know he definitely was a musical guest on there at some point, and was even in a Good Burger sketch with Kel, which is funny, or Ed is his, you know, his character, but he was like, Coolio's eat free, and he looks at the camera with the funniest look on his face. Yeah, so that was funny. But God bless Coolio, rest in peace. You know, very, very, very sad. Very unexpected. And one other thing that's I want to talk about here are my thoughts on Hocus Pocus 2, the latest sequel to Hocus Pocus. It just came out on Disney Plus at the end of last month. I got around to watching it when it first came out on Disney Plus, and I have some thoughts on it. It was a lot different than I thought it would be. I would have liked to have seen maybe the original cast make a cameo, like Max and Allison, or maybe continue the story with them, like, you know, like they're married or have kids or something. No, they went to a completely different cast with like they did make a couple references here and there to the original, but not much. Which was a little disappointing. I would have liked to have seen them make a cameo or something. You know, or with the little kid sister Danny, but they didn't do that. They went with a completely different cast, and very diversive cast for sure. But I mean, you know, the kids were okay actors. You know, it kind of looked like something you'd see on like Nickelodeon or the Disney Channel more. But very diverse, different ethnicities between, you know, black and Hispanic. They definitely wanted to appeal to all races and cultures, and they did that. So. I guess congratulations if that's what they were going after, but anyway, I did like that they kept the original charm from the original, with, you know, the Sanderson sisters, of course, you know, Bette Midler and Kathy Najimy and Sarah Jessica Parker. They were great again, like they were the first time. I knew they would be. Yeah, those three are very funny, and they all did a wonderful job with each other, and. So they did a good job, but like I said, it just felt too different. I wish that the original cast would have made some sort of a cameo or been based more around them instead of just abandoning them all together and going with different kids. It would have been nice, it would have been good for the 90s kids that grew up with it. But whatever, I guess that's what they decided they wanted to do. But I did think they've evolved very nicely into, you know, 2022 present day, them going into Walgreens and just randomly, and it was kind of funny. It was a fun movie, but it was good. I enjoyed it. I think it was a good sequel for today. I don't think it would have worked back in like the 90s if they had a sequel like, you know, in like 97 or 98 or something like that. But it made sense for today's society. I'll just say that they definitely modernized it, and the only, you know, continuing thing was the Sanderson sisters, but everything else was very different. Very, very different. But a good movie, though. I would recommend it if you're into Halloween movies. You know, it's funny, the original was not really all that successful, but it actually, you know, kind of became a Halloween tradition just because people referred to it as a bad Halloween movie, then it kind of caught on. So it's almost like people thought it was so bad it was good because, you know, it was an annual tradition. So it just kind of caught on over the years. But it's on Disney Plus if you want to watch it. I think the Disney Plus is kind of whole subscription fee is kind of ridiculous. They say the movies are free, but you have to pay $7.99 a month to watch anything. That's misleading. Like, it doesn't make sense. It contradicts itself. It's free, but you kind of have to pay $7.99. It's like it's not really free. It's you have to, well, whatever. It's just ridiculous. So much for free, free, and, you know, read the small print. You have to pay $7.99 first. I'm like, come on, I don't want to pay $7.99. Money's tight for me these days. Like, I don't want to pay anything for that. But it's a good movie, though. It's a good Halloween movie. And speaking of Halloween, Nickelodeon actually has a very exciting new Halloween movie they're coming out with that just debuted this week, called Monster High. Monster High the movie. I don't know if it was a series or like a comic strip in the past. It might have been, but I don't know for sure. But they made a live action musical out of it on Nickelodeon. There was a lot of hype behind it too over the past month. I kept hearing about it and seeing previews for the songs. I have to say, as talented as the cast was and as good as it was with the songs, I didn't think it needed to be a musical. It just, it didn't work well with, I mean, I like the songs, it's just, I just don't think it was necessary. I think it could have worked just fine without music, because the plot was so good, and the lessons that, it actually had lessons that you could learn from it, such as acceptance and, you know, being yourself, and it'll make more sense when you watch it, just what I mean, but still, it's, it was good. I just think it, for some reason, like, I don't know how long ago it started, but, like, Disney Channel, Nickelodeon have completely changed their branding as far as kids go with, you know, with talent. I mean, when I was growing up, like, you know, Nickelodeon had shows about kids, for kids, by kids, you know, that, you know, the kids could relate to kids just like themselves. That's what, you know, what people liked about it, is that the characters were relatable, and you could you know, connect with them. I don't think any kid nowadays between the ages of 10 and 12 is going to relate to a superstar Broadway actor with, you know, singing and dancing chops and whatnot. I mean, because they're going to feel bad, you know, they're going to feel bad for not having the same talents they have, so it actually kind of discourages them more. But the networks don't care about it because it brings them money, so they could care less how the kids feel, which I don't think is right. But yeah, that's just the network's philosophies. They've changed over the years how they brand themselves and how they market themselves and whatnot. Good movie, good concept. I like the lessons they get out of it, but the music wasn't necessary. I like the music, but it didn't need to be there. That's just how I feel about it. But anyway, it's been getting a lot of attention across the, you know, the platforms of Nickelodeon. I don't watch a lot of Nickelodeon as much anymore, just now that I'm older, but things that get my attention that I think are good, I'll watch. But good movie, you know, but just, could have been without the music, I think. If you're interested in watching it as a series, it's actually now going to become a series on Nickelodeon starting on October 28th, in about 3 weeks or so from now. It'll be a new series, an animated series on Nickelodeon. Get that to look forward to if you're interested, but I'm pretty sure it won't have the music, but I think it'll just be a regular cartoon, but that's Nickelodeon's and Disney Channel's philosophy. Get super talented kids that can sing and dance and use auto-tune when they sing, so I can tell the songs were on auto-tune. It's like all pop music these days, but anyway, Those are just my thoughts on it. We'll take a break and wrap things up here on sports and stuff after these messages, and we'll give you an idea of what to look forward to in the next couple weeks. Be right back.
You've got to plug into EPRN. We've got the conversation, we've got the sports team, and our music and entertainment team brings podcasting to extremely new heights.
Listen in to EPRN.us. Press the app button on the site and download the EPRN app now. You'll be listening to shows in no time. Take us on the go with you. Our app is accessible on all mobile devices and tablets. Or you can just go to EPRN.us.
Your listening is worth your time.
Spend your time listening to an independently owned media network.
Tell a friend and listen in.
Exquisite Podcast Radio Network, EPRN.
Back here one more time on sports and stuff. And I want to thank you very much for listening to the show this week. I greatly appreciate it. The next week or two, I'm going to talk more Halloween stuff. And we'll talk more about the Major League playoffs in baseball as that starts to heat up. Should get exciting. I'm definitely looking forward to those playoff series. One thing I will say about the playoffs, though, is it seems like every year baseball always has like the weirdest start times for baseball games in the in the playoffs. It's always like 4 or 5 in the afternoon, or 8 or 9 p.m., or 12 o'clock, or 2 o'clock, or 2:30, or 4:30. It's just the times kind of bounce around and go a little crazy. But I don't know why they do that, but. Anyway, it's kind of hard for people to follow if they're at work, but, well, I guess baseball just has their own philosophy when it comes to when the games air and with the networks and all that, with scheduling, but anyway, I'll catch a little bit here and there and definitely fill everybody in on what's going on in the next couple weeks with baseball, and so we got that to look forward to. But I do think it's going to be interesting seeing how the Patriots adjust without Mac Jones, how they do with Brian Hoyer and Bailey Zappe moving forward, how they, you know, who actually, you know, starts the games and whether or not or when Mac Jones will come back. Hopefully it's not as serious as it looked at the time, but we'll keep our eyes and ears open for that. So anyway, we got that looked forward to. And, one other thing I guess I'll mention as far as, you know, game shows are concerned. Jeopardy actually has their upcoming Tournament of Champions in the next couple weeks. They're going to have a second chance tournament, the first time they're doing this, where they're going to have some of the best players who actually lost last year that played very well in their losing efforts. And they're going to have 2 second chance contestants. They'll have 2 separate weeks, and at the end of those individual weeks, they'll have a total of 2 second chance participants that they're going to be added to this year's Tournament of Champions. And that should be a heck of a tournament. I'm really excited and looking forward to that very much. That won't start till the end of October, so plenty of time to talk about that and preview that sometime soon. And I'll just say that as we wrap up here, the Celebrity Jeopardy has kind of been a joke. For those that have seen it, the celebrities are over the top and ridiculous, which is kind of what I thought would happen. And Maya Bialik has just proven she cannot ad-lib. She's just very bad at ad-libbing. If she's not reading off the paper for the when she reads the clues, or she's not saying something scripted going into commercial, then she is lost. She cannot ad-lib. Talented actress, but just can't think on her feet. She can't do it. I thought she'd be better with celebrities, and she's maybe off air she is, but on air she's just not. That's just how I feel, but it's fun. I think it's entertaining seeing the celebrities and whatnot, but anyway, that continues every Sunday night on ABC, as well as Celebrity Wheel of Fortune on Sunday nights. If you want a little Wheel and Jeopardy on Sundays, that's where it is, on ABC. And the place to be for sports and stuff is EPRN, Exquisite Podcast Radio Network. I highly encourage everybody to download the app like I talked about earlier. If you also want to get more content from sports and stuff, there's the app out there, the Sports and Stuff app, which you can download on Google Play or Apple Store, wherever you can download podcasts. There's a lot of extra exclusive content out there for your listening pleasures. And if you have a question or comment, you could always feel free to reach out to me by email. My email address is John Meisner, M-E-I-S-N-E-R, 1991, @gmail.com. Again, that's John Meisner, 1991, @gmail.com. I have received email in the past from people, so thanks for those that have taken the time to reach out to me. So that's the best way to get a hold of me. And with that, we're going to call the show for this week. Thanks, everybody, for listening. I very much appreciate it. For all the hardworking men and women behind the scenes here at EPRN, this is John Meisner signing off of Sports and Stuff. You've been listening to Sports and Stuff on EPRN. Have a great week, everybody. Enjoy fall. Get out there. Pick some pumpkins. Pick some apples. Stay safe. Take care, everyone. So long.